Zitza Bindua! Zitza Bindua!
Sorry, I don't get that one.
Wayne's World. When Wayne's trying to learn Cassandra's language.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Unexpected.
It's not a movie. My memory, you know.
Well, you know what they say about the first thing to go with your memory.
Is Wayne's World?
No, I don't remember.
Sadly, that sticks around. I lose a lot of stuff, but I know a good amount of Wayne's World.
You're knocking the channel.
It's a great
there.
Sketch that turned into one pretty good movie.
Party time. It's excellent.
It is. I'll have the cream of some young
Wayne.
Guy.
I did not get the Mandalorian today, so not Mandalorian, Jesus.
Or the Loki.
Wait, what?
Never. Loki is what I meant. Did not get the Loki today.
I was like, what are you getting to watch?
I just watched last week's last night, so yeah.
Yeah, I still have not seen episode one, but someday.
I think Alpha for the win in episode 300, by the way.
Yeah. I'm up to date on Bad Batch, I believe.
Not.
I don't know where I am on that either.
But the ever-popular Just to Me Big Brother starts tonight, so...
Ugh.
If only nobody but you cared.
Yeah,
I know!
I mean, summer's officially here.
I watched, just the trailer that was on while I was watching A Little Price is Right this morning. Man, everybody on that show looks so gross.
Yeah, that's pretty normal.
I mean, really gross.
You don't get, top-quality people to show up on Big Brother, man.
No. They don't make for good reality TV. I understand.
Yeah.
Ian, did you see that Disney Plus is dropping a new Monsters, Inc. series?
Yeah.
I did not see that. What's it about?
It's about, as far as I could tell, it's about them working at their company. The name of the show is Monsters at Work.
Oh, well, I saw them say something about Monsters at Work, but I thought it was just a ploy to get me to watch an old Monsters, Inc. movie.
No, apparently they are no longer trying to scare you. They're trying to give you, pleasant dreams or something.
Yeah, that's how it ended.
Okay.
Yep, they found out that child laughter gave them even more energy than child fear.
Okay. Well, that apparently that's where the show's going.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they apparently have a lot of the voice actors back, so it should be entertaining.
That makes sense. I can't imagine Billy Crystal and John Goodman are super busy. Plus, from half the voice actors that I've met at Altoona Comic Con, apparently voice acting is soulless.
I saw some article apparently that voice actors are getting concerned because they've made the artificial voices in video games so good that some companies aren't even going to hire voice actors anymore. They're just going to let the computer talk to you.
I had not heard that.
Yeah. I disbelieve that that's accurate. I think a voice actor can put inflections in there that computerized won't be able to. But
unless you're Peter Dinklage in whatever game that was that he was supposed to be the robot and failed.
I totally think that some of the CGI or, computer generated voice acting can probably, be better than some of the voice actors, sure.
Right. I wouldn't know. And I also, Peter Dinklage isn't known for his voice acting as much as his acting.
Well, apparently that was purely just terrible direction. Like, they did not give him what he needed to, they didn't tell him what they needed correctly.
Sure. So, Alpha. I didn't mean to imply that they don't like it. It's a great job. So the first panel that I sat in on was a lady who played Baroness on G.I. Joe, and she also played Barrisse Offee on Clone Wars. And I was like, well, tell me about the parts that you did. Did you know anything about the characters' backgrounds? How did you feel when you were doing those scenes? And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I walked into a room. They said, please give me a voice, preferably female, preferably this ethnicity, preferably in this age range. Here's your script, record it and leave. And I was like, that sounds terrible. Thank you for ruining voice acting for me. And then I sat out on Billy West's panel, and he made it sound totally different. He's like, we had all sorts of table reads on Futurama. They would work jokes about me personally into it. I love doing Rin and Stimpy. I love doing Doug. My time on the Howard Stern show was incredible. Voice acting is the best. And I was like, okay, two different sides. So I will, I guess it depends on what, level of voice acting you get involved or what projects you're working
on. That sounds strange, because I saw Arthur Burghardt, who, among his many voices, he did Destro in that same series, and at his panel at Comic Galacticon in Raleigh, and he had some great stories. So, I don't know, I guess it's just each actor or actress has different experiences.
Yeah.
Talking about Ren and Stimpy and Doug and such. I just watched a documentary on like how Nickelodeon came to being. It was pretty good.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it gave you the whole history of how the show came together and you know how they founded the studios at Universal Florida and got people to go there and you know how Double Dare got created and then things started to blow up and
yeah, I remember when it first came into existence, at least in my life. They had Double Dare was one of the first shows on there.
Yeah, it was pretty early.
Yeah, Double Dare. There was a cartoon called Calliope, which I think was some sort of weird Canadian import.
Pinwheel was the first thing.
Pinwheel, yeah!
They no animators. Like, apparently there was only, like, one or two companies that owned, like, all the syndicated animation.
Oh.
And they wouldn't sell any of it to Nickelodeon.
Nice.
So that's why they had all, like, the weird Canadian and British cartoons, like, you know, remember they have Banana Man and that kind of stuff, Danger Mouse.
Count Duckula.
So they had that stuff because that's all they could buy.
I loved that show, but I think it does not hold up.
But yeah, when you can't do that in television, they bought that from Canada.
Right.
And, you know, that blew up big, you know, yeah, but then they started talking about all the, you know, stuff that they got people to come to the studio and then, you know, they got into when they started filming Hey Dude and then Salute Your Shorts and Clarissa and then they spun into Are You Afraid of the Dark and
stupid Awful Waffle.
Yeah, Awful Waffle. They asked them, like, is the Awful Waffle ever explained? You're like, no. All we know is that it somehow involves a tennis racket and maple syrup. And that's all that ever got revealed in the show.
Sounds like the Calvin and Hobbes, was it the noodle incident?
So that was the Awful Waffle.
So what service is this documentary on?
I watched it on Hulu because I watch things on Hulu.
There you go. Okay. Alpha asked.
So. I will look into that. Ah. That's awesome. Alpha, I want that. I'm envious of that. I used to be frightened of Silas Greenback, so I didn't watch as much Danger Mouse as I wanted to, but that was a good show.
Yep, there you go. Samurai posted for you. Yeah, it was called The Orange Years.
I should have known. He had a link. Second, right, let's start the show. It's extra long. It's monumental.
Yeah, the second thing I was going to say was we need to get this started.
It's going to go way past my bedtime.
If we don't get it started, we're going to never finish.
Yeah, it is well past.
This is the show that never ends.
It is well past. Alright, greatest ship believers, and welcome to the 300th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3, the world's only podcast about Marvel Puzzle Quest featuring me. I am the only one, you can call me Craig, we got Chaos 70 Snoo and Stinky Pete, they're Ray and Ian.
Hello.
Howdy. Hello.
Alright, well hey, since it's episode 300, Ray, hit me with some show stats. What do we got in history of this show?
Oh wow, yeah, you said you were going to hit me with that like right off the bat, didn't you?
I did.
Some statistics. We started this show recording in August 2015. In the first year, so this is from that August to the next August, we had a total of 5,200 plays, but more than 25,000 downloads, which to me is odd. People like downloading the podcast more than clicking play while they're in a car or something. So, however, in the second year, 10 times... we got more than 52,000 plays in the second year. Listenership just exploded. And 80,000 downloads. So during the show's run, we have been listened to more than 400,000 times. And this does not include any statistics from iTunes because I had trouble pulling the statistics from there. So this is just on our hosting platform from our RSS feed. So, yeah. It's a lot of listens. And also, I want to mention that, as we mentioned before, we have been listened to in one form or another in 68 different countries. In the last year alone, 40 countries had at least 10 plays, with more than 100 listens in the countries of Finland, New Zealand, Germany, Italy, Austria, Australia, the UK, Canada, and France.
Thanks, Finland. My wife really appreciates that. Good job in the Euro 2020.
I am impressed. I don't know how people in other countries. I mean, I guess MPQ is all over the place, so people, you know, starve for information, I guess.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's some statistics for you.
All right. Well, so this is, in theory, covering the 7th of the 7th to the 7th of the 14th in the year of our COVID part due. But Ian, can you please share? What's the PSA?
Oh, the PSA this week is for the health and safety of you and your community. The Delta variant is on the rise, so please consider getting your COVID-19 vaccine if you haven't already. It's free, it's easy, and it's considerably more convenient than what was earlier in the year. You could probably go anywhere where they give out shots. I would recommend a pharmacy, but if that's not your jam, anywhere that has a pharmacy is fine. If you want to go down to Kroger's or Safeway or Publix or Wegmans, that's fine. Maybe you're a Walmart or Target kind of person. Go there. They'll give you a shot. They don't care. They're free. They've got jillions. No one wants them. But pass on the Epsilon variant to my son. Right. So go do that for me. I'd appreciate it. If not, that's cool, too. Just know that I think a little bit less of
you. All right. Let's go to the end of the 5-day 4-star crash. The Titans. Little extended list this week because we didn't do last week. So the 26th was Mockingbird versus Hawkeye. Did you manage to blow up some bombs?
Sort of. It was a struggle. My 205 Mockingbird got it done, but don't ask me how. I was able to keep the blue at bay long enough that I was not too stunned and not too, you know, electrified with bolo arrows and electric arrows that I was. I won. I've been on a hot streak lately.
Nice.
Oh, crap.
The AI for me didn't even bother trying to stop Bombshell. So that was it. Oh, God. Did we lose Craig?
Oh, yeah. Totally gone.
Oh, I'm back, I think.
There you go.
He's back.
I turned my head and the USB cable pulled out of my headset. I was like, oh, no.
Well, we did expect the electricity to go out, so maybe this is our technical failure for the evening.
Yeah. All right, so that was Mockingbird and Hawkeye, right? I don't know. I missed the whole conversation.
Yes. Before we
continue, can you make sure that your Audacity didn't pause out while you did that?
Oh, gerbils. No, it appears that it is still making blue lines when I speak.
All right, that is good.
Because it uses my, the Yeti.
Oh, sure, volume. Sure. Okay.
So, the first, we had Bucky versus Panther. Did you Bucky?
Oh, my goodness. Bucky's strong.
Yeah.
His red and blue both do a ton of damage, and his purple keeps Black Panther from getting any black, so it's fantastic.
And once again, we each have a different build for Bucky.
Yes. I'm probably the wrongest build, but I like the precision shot for its ability to steal your opponent's AP.
Sure.
Not steal, eliminate
destroy,
your opponent's
AP. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. The sixth we had yesterday. You have Captain Falcon versus Carol. Did you flap your way to victory?
Just championed him this morning, and I'm still struggling. I was not prepared for how well... I mean, he's awful, but Carol is really well-built to wreck him. And she does. Like, all the time. I thought, well, you know, I'm never going to get enough red to do anything. Maybe I can coast by on all the shields I have out. Nope.
No.
She can get her pittance of red that wipes out all my shields and my health and all in one turn. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
I'll try again after the show, but no luck just yet.
Again, all different builds. And this is Samurai keeps pointing this out, but, the way to do it is to gather all the yellow and red that you need and then fire yellow and then fire red. I mean, that's how, you know, made the mistake of just going ahead and firing my yellow and thinking I'll get my red next turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Silly me.
Yep. I fell into that trap as well.
Craig, how did that 5-4-4 work out for you?
It's awesome. I don't know. I've saved
your unwillingness to respec his one good power makes me so happy.
You let Carol get black. She does the black. She gives you a special tile. And then you just keep boosting it with your blue matches.
I tried that. It did not work. That one strike tile, I just couldn't get it up enough.
mine got generated in the bottom left corner. And I just kept making blue matches.
Yeah, I hate it.
And I never fired the red. I killed her with match damage.
Nice. Good on you. I don't have him high enough to... I'll try again. It's tough because for some reason... Oh, because you have so many overlapping colors with Captain Falcon and Carol. Yeah, the AI is just too on top of things. Anywhere I think I'm going to get some red, it's gone before I can ever grab it.
And Craig, that GIF that's currently in Discord is directed at you. And if you don't know how it goes wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
All right. coming up number next is Peggy versus the Wasp.
That'll be easy.
Peggy's a beast.
Peggy's a absolute beast. There's no chance.
Yeah. That's been easy.
No chance.
Just remember not to match away that countdown tile she puts out. Wasp
right,
puts out.
And right. Just avoid that buzzing sound and you're good.
Yep.
All right. In Storyland, Unstable 8 is running right now. ISO 8. Going to get Colossus, Lizard, some Electro Shards. Placement is Mantis and Peter Parker. Followed up by Infinite Pursuit, Electra, Mantis, those Parker Shards. Placement is John Rambo and some Null Shards. Hey, running again, introducing Red Guardian. In case you didn't get introduced to him before, you're going to get introduced to him again. So get yourself some more Red Guardian shards, just because that movie's coming out.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I was also confused by reintroducing.
Yeah.
And I was distracted by, wow, it's an appropriate nickname for her. The John Rambo just led me down that weird franchise path. Like, every other movie is so divergent from the first one. First Blood is so unlike the other six.
Very true.
Well, I really like that first one.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
They took a swift downturn on the second one, but man, I really enjoyed the third one.
For sure.
The last one was actually decent.
Yeah, the one, but there was one where he was in like, he was trying to save some missionaries in, I'll say, Cambodia or something similar.
Yeah, right. Wasn't that the last one? That was just Rambo?
No,
the last one was the terrible one where he was in Mexico. And he had like a base that he had to go rescue his stepdaughter who was high on the cocaine or something.
I never watched that one. So
I did not see that one.
Yeah, not that one. That one's real horrible.
Right. Yeah. The one before that was solid.
Yeah, the one with the missionaries, that one's good.
Yeah, that one was good. But yeah, I don't know how it went from a vet trying to get home, getting hassled by the police, to what it's become.
Yeah, the first one's a really solid story. Like, it's got, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Brian Dennehy.
That's good acting. Hey, that puzzle gauntlet. Was that the worst puzzle gauntlet of all time? Or was it just me?
It was the hardest. Yeah. I think that makes it the best puzzle gauntlet of all time.
Well, I'm a little torn on that.
It was way too much random involved. You couldn't do any strategy for that.
Yeah.
Sure you could. You picked Magneto, you put out some projectiles, and just hope that you stayed alive long enough for those corners to light up.
Ugh.
See, I actually got past that. I can't get past round 3, which is the row of charge tiles. And I can't get past round 5 of the make all your web tiles. It's just, like, it relies on too much randomness. I just haven't been able to do it. Like, I beat the characters that I'm playing against before I can make it happen. And then
solve the puzzle.
I still haven't finished the Dakin and Mantis one, whatever it's called.
That one is very challenging.
The Column of Strike.
Again, you're right, for the same reason.
Right.
Like, I have to alternate between the two of them because they weren't healing fast enough for me to...
Right.
That and my inability to remember the difference between a row and column is so embarrassing.
The only one
I
did...
What now?
The only one I did was the Dakin Mantis bottom right one.
Really?
Yep.
Did you use silk?
I have played none of the rest of them.
Huh.
I don't know. What were my choices?
I don't know. You have limited choices on... You've got, like, Power Man, Karnak, Silk, Magneto, and Storm.
Yeah.
Is that the one you had to get a bunch of strike tiles all over the place?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I think she might have been the only one who makes them.
Who's that?
Silk.
Silk.
Oh, I don't have Silk. So, I mean, I have Silk, but she's not playable. So, again, I had to go with Magneto and try to use his board shuffle to accidentally shuffle the tiles into the right place, and then use his red to get rid of the team-up tiles.
Right.
And hopefully it would create a thing. And yes, thank you, Samurai. That is how that's my only way of remembering the difference between rows and columns is the old Sega game columns.
All right. In PvP land, it's the Hey Sister Soul season. Right now, you've got 4 victory runnings since they're celebrating Peggy's inclusion in the game. That'll get you Angel, Peggy, placement is Quake, and some Gambit shards. And in your simulator for this season, it is Punisher, Squirrel Girl, and Mantis. All right, so we've got some release notes here. And boy, there's a lot in here. Are you ready?
Oh.
Are you sitting down?
Oh, I'm sitting down.
All right, we got a clue.
Stretched out. I'm comfy.
The clue is, you are a pirate.
So, we did have some discussion on this last episode.
Okay.
And I got really optimistic for a second, and then I noticed that the most recent new character was a 5-star, so this character is going to be a 4-star, and then I got less optimistic. But then I got a little bit optimistic because, you know, I like Ray. He's a good guy. So he deserves
that. What was your 5-star thought?
Oh, well, because you said pirate, and then you said skull and crossbones, and I was like, sweet, Red Skull.
Right.
No, I'm assuming it's just going to be Corsair.
Oh.
Where
bold.
Is
Corsair? We were thinking crossbones.
Where is Corsair from?
He's Cyclops.
He's Cyclops' dad. He's the head of the...
Yeah, but is he in anything, like, recently? I don't think so.
He's in a...
Francine Fry's never been in anything, right?
1996 Fox cartoon about the X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm still going with crossbones.
Yeah.
Jolly Maybe Roger crossbones. For the pirate. You're a pirate.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be Kitty Pryde. It could be a 4-star Kitty Pryde. She's a pirate in the X-Men.
So. She is?
Yeah. Nightcrawler was a pirate. You know.
All right.
Anyway, hey, that new character, Francine, we'll talk about her in a second. There's 5 years of Peggy Carter going on, so you should have gotten a free gift this week.
I did. I got 400 shards.
There you go.
That was thoughtful.
It says, don't miss the I Spy PvP that is starting tomorrow, featuring all the Black Widows. That's a lot of Black Widows.
It is.
And then here's the interesting one. Starting July 14th, log into MPQ for details on the puzzle quest. Join the search for 4 clues to earn incredible prizes.
Hmm.
I want prizes and clues.
So that'll be interesting. We'll have to make a
go
with that.
Yeah, someone get me my notebook and my thinking chair.
Who's clues? Ian's clues. Initial details. They updated multiple PvP backgrounds to make the point rewards more visible. Silver Surfer's black hole tile image to make it more visible. Powers that trigger when a fortified tile is destroyed, such as Misty's Saturday Night Special, now correctly trigger or do not trigger under the correct conditions. Well, okay. That's good. They actually do what they're supposed to. That's nice. When playing against 5-star card each with Null and Void, the passive now correctly does not trigger until the enemy's first turn instead of triggering on the player's first turn. Good, because that's annoying that they get to go before you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lizard's R-Complex repeater now correctly remains on the board after downing the last enemy of a wave. And for multiple character powers that change tiles on the board when attempting to fire those powers, while 5-star Thanos has infinite powers on the board, power cannot fire pop-up correctly displays instead of the power firing and consuming AP with no effect.
I just have to say, I really enjoy Sluggo's black hole tile song that he just came up with.
He did a little Black Hole Sun parody.
Yeah, he did. There you go. Check the discards. And then, all right, let's talk about this new character, some lady no one's ever heard of, but goes by the name of Electro.
Nice.
All right, so Francine Fry, 5-star, green, black, yellow. She is a villain of the Sinister Sticks for IZ.
Yeah.
7 green, volts, bolts, and jolts. Create 3 red countdown tiles in different columns that range from 1 to 3 turns. When each expires, deal damage and destroy all tiles above it in its column. Columns are vertical, Ian.
Yep, I remember.
Destroy tiles, deal damage, but do not generate AP. The damage goes up. This power doesn't do much damage, but the destroying everything above you was fun when I got to play with her some. That was neat.
I agree.
Black power, love of villainy, 8 black. Deal damage plus additional damage if there are 6 or fewer team-up tiles on the board. At max level, this is doing 12,920 plus an additional 8,075. So, quick 20,000 hitter. With the passive, of Electro takes 14% less damage for each other active villain on her team. That goes up as you level to 25% less damage for each other villain. So, she's taking 50% less damage. You got her teamed up with some villains, and at max level, it's 20,188 plus an additional 18,573. So, almost 40,000 in damage for that 8 black. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yellow power, free of charge, 5 yellow. Create a strength 189 strength tile in the bottom row. Passive, whenever an enemy power would deal damage to Electra's entire team, Reduce that damage by 884 down to a minimum of 1 and generate 5 yellow. Obviously, as that goes up, it's the strength tile gets up to a max of 1340, and it's going to reduce 6,622 damage. So, kind of like Quake's passive that reduces AoE.
Yes.
But gets you a strength tile in addition. So, that's not bad. That black power looks like where it's at. Like, I think it's probably a 355. Could be a 454.
I wouldn't argue with either one of those builds.
Yeah.
I know Ian's gone with the 454, so.
Yeah, almost certainly. If I ever get to a max, even a champion 5-star,
right,
you will be the second or third person to know about it for sure.
Her cover store opened on the 1st. That runs the 11th. Chances to get her in there. The Electro Limited Vault is running the 8th to the 13th. That's a 40 item. One of those, It's Alive Legendary Store tokens, and John Rambo is in there as well. That Legendary Store, 8th to the 13th, 15% chance to get Electro, Doc Ock, and Immortal Hulk. Ooh, might have to spend on that. I need more Immortal Hulks. Those tokens are 25 CP each. Release debut, she's in placement rewards. She was in Strange Sights. Okay, we already missed that. The Introducing Electro runs the 1st to the 8th. It's a progress reward in the Unstable ISO versus tournament. She's in as a reward in Stars and Strikes, which is the America one. And her event's called Current Events. Yeah. That'll reward tokens to her store from the 4th to the 7th, so ending up today. So there you go. Oh, I'm Nurgles.
You totally botched that.
I did totally botch that. Man.
We might as well end it. Close it with the intro.
Yeah, sorry about that. Francine, however, this was always brought to you by It Was Always Sunny in Xandar. This week, Francine gets a charge out of life. That would have made more sense if I'd have done it in the correct order. I totally skipped over the other piece of news. That's what threw me off.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, there's a new Colossus costume, too.
Man, did you Craig this up.
Oh, man. Total
You really breaded this up, Craig.
Total breaded. There's a Hellfire Gala Colossus where he's in this sweet, like, Russian fur coat. With these awesome like gold chains. Yeah, the hat.
It's all about the hat.
Yeah.
He's dressed up like a little Cossack?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's got like a fur hat. He's got like a black coat. It's got like some gold chains hanging off of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was fun times.
He looks like he's going to go beat up John Wick.
Nobody can beat up John Wick, man. Come on now.
That's true.
All right. Totally bungled Xandar. Oh, well. Hey, let's move on.
Like, we have plenty of other segments to bungle. Hang in there.
You know who wouldn't bungle up Xandar? Samurai! Hey, Samurai! How are you?
Hooray!
Nothing.
What's Hello. Going on, nothing guys? Going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I just thought we'd hang out with Samurai. I just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, all the work that Samurai does behind the scenes, all the fact-checking and updating he does during the show, and everything he does through the Discord. So just because you don't hear Samurai every week, don't think that he is any less a part of the show than the three of us are.
Yep.
Well, if you want to hear more of me, you need to tune into the live show in addition to listening to the podcast later.
It's true. For the pre-show chatter.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget to check out the graphic each week, because Ian would be lost without the graphic.
So is there anything you want to say about the graphic? Like, you put it appears to be a ton of work into this graphic every week, and we reference it all the time. And you just do this in paint, right?
Well, I used to do it in paint. So I pulled up my old album, the first one from 2017 through, I guess, 2018. The first episode I actually did for this show was episode 96 back in late June of 2017. The original cheat sheet was literally just me copy and pasting 4-star War Machine and 5-star Green Goblin for each of the three of you. it was not crayon donkey teeth. It was colored pencil. There is a difference. But that episode 96 one is great because neither Craig nor Ray have War Machine. I guess he wasn't even champed at the time, just fully covered. And then Ian, you don't have War Machine or Green Goblin. That
sounds very accurate.
There's a lot of those early episodes where y'all are just missing covers left and right. But I did that for a couple of years. And then when I upgraded computers about the time that my old machine crashed and I had to do that week where I drew everything in colored pencil,
right.
I upgraded to a raster program called paint.net. It's basically a low resource GIMP, or, you know, it's not even in the same stratosphere as Photoshop, but there's a couple of different layers where I can throw on the graphics, where I can throw the text up, and it looks like a lot of work, but I tell you, I got that thing down to a science last year where, and part of this was just the ease with which D3 would rotate the characters, where I could just throw assets from previous templates back onto the screen. And it took me like 10, 15 minutes to put the thing together. Now that they've boosted the 5 stars and I've had to go back and completely redo everything, it is a little more work. Right. Although it's far less text for Ian to ignore while he searches for the little bits that are relevant in the boosted segment.
It has grown significantly. I imagine it's like me doing the website every week. Like I get on automatic. I don't even know that I'm doing it anymore. I just put the episode up, change all the graphics and hit send. Like
it's easy once you get started, but you know, I sit there and start working on them. Like, man, I could be playing Fallout 76 right now, or I could be playing Marvel Puzzle Quest, because, you know, staying in a top 100 alliance is kind of difficult sometimes, especially with the new PvP meta being as drastically changed in recent weeks. It has been something to see, but yeah, it's parts of it are still fairly easy. I tell you, the hardest thing sometimes about this is coming up with the reference for the main crash pick every week. Because sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's just what would make Craig the angriest right this second. That's happened in the last week, and you know, that's perfectly. Sometimes it's a little more difficult.
Right, I feel like this week's really presented itself, and it checked a lot of boxes. Yeah, it was an actual crash. It's cycling, which Craig hates. It's French with which Craig hates.
I think that the graphic that I saw this week that probably would make Craig the angriest, I'm posting to Discord. It is the masterclass where Natalie Portman teaches acting.
Oh, good God! That's like saying Pee Wee Herman teaches me how to, you know, weightlift.
I thought you were going a different direction with that.
Can you find anyone less qualified to teach someone how to act? What is that, teamed up with Jim Carrey?
I totally saw that and just laughed and laughed.
That is like the worst thing. People are spending money on that?
Right. Yeah.
I should be teaching a master class on everything else, apparently, because I'm more qualified than her to talk about that. Good God. That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, that was the reaction I was hoping for.
Holy smokes. I can't even believe that the people who run masterclass could even do that and like feel good about themselves. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
That didn't even make it onto the infographic. That's fantastic.
I could always find that infographic from the April Fools last year where it was nothing but Natalie Portman picks.
Yeah. Now we have something to look forward to. Although I always do. I always like the pictures that go along with the character references.
You know, sometimes it's a lot easier than others. You know, I've tried to vary them up a little bit, and I'll tell you.
Yeah, you change them up way too frequently. It's crazy.
It's weird. The best tool for diversifying these is to just go, is to go to Wikipedia and go, whatever character name, disambiguation, and that's, you know, that's a gold mine. But yeah, there's a few where it's like, I am just running out of references for this particular character.
For sure. No, this week was a gem. I love that. I love that picture of Venom, the leader of Venom. It really brought back some memories of a really bad cartoon.
the toys were wonderful. I think in some respects,
the toys were wonderful.
A lot of those toys were better than some of the G.I. Joe stuff that was coming out at the same time. and a lot more shooting parts too. I'm sure my mom pulled a lot of, missiles out from under the furniture when I was 6-7 years old.
They did shoot a lot of projectiles. That's why I enjoyed them.
But yeah, it's been a clever challenge, and you know, I it started with me just throwing this up because I remember one week you were like, I don't even remember what I have on my roster, and you know, 3 years, well, no, 4 years later, sorry, man, how time flies.
Right,
2017. That wasn't that long ago, was it? It feels like it's been 20 years since, but Yeah, it's
Because of last year.
Yeah. But it's been fun, and I thoroughly enjoyed the weeks where somebody can't make it, and you know, y'all ask me to fill in sometimes, even at the, you know, with 5 minutes before the show goes on. But this has been greatly entertaining for my Wednesday nights, except those occasional weeks where you all feel like you have to interview somebody important and you do it on a Thursday.
And
I love you guys, but I'm sorry, D&D at the table always trumps everything else.
And yet you're able to put through an infographic. So
true story.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We really do appreciate the help with the show.
Very much so.
It's priceless. Especially since, you know, we can't pay you. So we can't pay ourselves.
Also a true story.
We have to pay Kenny Loggins, but that's about it.
That's right. You know, however, if more people would like to subscribe via Patreon or click things on our Amazon go through, that would be awesome.
I have tried to, you know, this last year and a half, I have ordered so much crap off Amazon, and I do try when I'm, it's not easy to do through the phone, but when I'm at the desktop, I do try and remember to support my own, you know, team by clicking through the banner. And I'm sure y'all have gotten a couple of very weird. Actually, that would have been a great segment for tonight. The weirdest stuff that you've ever come across that we've gotten.
That's true. I would have had to put a lot of time into that. I don't usually look at it because, you know, it's not my business, but sometimes there's some weird stuff on there.
I don't think anything will ever be.
Wasn't there trombone lubricant at some point?
There was some sort of horn instrument lubricant. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to lube your horn.
Yeah, you have to.
Got to lube that trombone.
That's right. You don't want it to get rusty. hey, so I thought we'd have Samurai do this next part too. We should talk about our top three.
Oh, okay, we should. But first, I need to talk about something that's in Discord that makes me feel like one of our listeners is watching me. So before Keith posted that Simpsons GIF, and I don't know if it shows in my voice or why it's actually happening, before that was up there, I was listening to Craig talk and I got bored and distracted, and I happened to have two Nerf bullets here at my desk. Where I'm doing the show, and I shove them both up my nose, only to then see that Teeth put a picture of Homer Simpson shoving crayons up his nose, and I was like, why are you watching me through my webcam? Why do I have Nerf bullets up my nose? I don't have the answer to any of these questions, but it was suspiciously
I've
relevant.
Never noticed before, but at the end of it, the little one just popped out of his ear.
It does.
As someone who's recently had something large shoved up his nose, I don't understand why he would voluntarily do this.
Or Nerf bullets, not, you know.
Oh, man.
Horrifyingly long tubes.
Up your nose with a 6-foot rubber hose, Craig.
That's pretty much exactly what happened, yeah.
Right.
It's more plastic than rubber, but, you know. All right. Let's get, Ian, what's the top three then?
The top three for this week. The top three segments on the Puzzle Warriors 3.
Who's going first?
I guess it has to be Samurai.
All right.
Oh,
We gave him no preparation to prepare anything.
Well, you know.
So it's me. The top three. My number three is the pie segment. I love pies. It was silly. It was well received. It made Joe angry.
Not just Joe.
Like so many other things. It checked a lot of boxes. And it introduced me to some genuinely great pies that I've never tried, along with some great pie recipes.
Right. So I'm just going to throw in here, because my number three is the pie segment.
Nice.
I thoroughly enjoyed the pie segment. And the fact that there was so much consternation about it made, you know, listener comments a little bit more amusing. So there you go.
All right. My number three is just for my own amusement factor. Is I'm going to go to the news, just because, A, I like to hear myself talk, and B... I can always hear Ian completely tune out the entire time when I'm reading things. And then when we ask him questions about it, he's like, what? There was a new character? I don't understand. When did that happen? Samurai, what you got?
That's fair.
My number three is probably going to be feature character of the week, / Always Sunny in Xandar. Y'all may have noticed a little bit of a theme with the way I have come to help with the production of this podcast. I tried to help Ian out a little bit, but at the same time, revel in when I can get under any of y'all's skin. And let me tell you, Ian having to work around some of the most complex, convoluted characters that were coming out that he had never seen before, that was some of the best best podcast material. I think Bill Coulson was probably the best because he had two abilities for everything. He had an active and a passive for everything, and they were all so complex. And
and as Craig pointed out, Craig had previously explained him in great detail, and I was totally unconscious.
But having to work around just the ball of incomprehensible, dense abilities and try and explain to the people, I think that was thoroughly entertaining for me.
All right, what do you got, number two?
Number two is the Superhero Showdown. I liked the random number generator aspect. I liked that they were pulled from one of your weird old comics. I liked, you know, formulating arguments about totally, you know, fictional characters and whether or not they would win in a fight. Apparently, that's something I enjoy in my free time. So, Superhero Showdown, number two.
Yeah, very nice.
Ray, you've already volunteered to be second.
I did. So, my number two is, you know, I enjoy trivia. I like hearing Ian's trivia. I know that it's like, you know, kind of pulled off the web sometimes last minute, but you know, I just kind of like the idea behind it, so yeah, I like trivia. Yeah. So that's my number two.
My number two is also Superhero Showdown.
Nice.
Again, I like pulling the characters out of the old Marvel Universe comics and see who was in there and what random people we could get, and still nobody beats Turn of the Century.
I will also say that even though we weren't recording, so no one will ever hear the debates beforehand, but you having to pull out the book and go, oh, nope, not that book. All right, roll again. Okay, yeah, this one. And just the...
Well, I'm missing a couple issues of that old Marvel Universe comic, so if they roll a couple of the issues, like, you couldn't go that way.
Or you open it up and start going towards that page, and, like, stream of curses come out, because the whole section is just anathema to you.
Yeah. Well, lots of times, I swear we got, like, the people from Mountain What's-Its Bucket, like 12 times, you know.
I do remember them.
We kept landing on equipment because that book also just has equipment in it. So you're like, oh, it's Captain America's shield. Okay, no, roll again. All right, what was it, your number two? Samurai.
For me, it's probably going to be the infographic. And I know Alpha Team just said, you know, he loved it before I started handing Ian the information on a silver platter, for the same reasons that I love the feature character of the week, because, you know, it's fun to watch him stumble over powers. But, you know, of everything on the infographic, it takes the most labor. It has evolved the most on my end. It's evolved a little bit on Ian's end. I love it when I can fish out some sort of graphic reference that you all, you know, the gold standard is, can I get at least one or two or possibly even three different derailments out of the graphics I reference. And the best are when you're just going through there and Craig just hits one and it's a landmine and he just goes off on a 5-minute tangent. Honorable mention for the one I did of Haley Atwell in a different role where it just completely distracted Ian for the entire episode because her talents were on display.
Yeah, she seems nice.
But I will say the absolute best part of that is we've been doing this segment for almost, what, 200 episodes? I could go back and look and see when we actually started this. It was sometime around the 120s or so.
Yeah, it was very early on.
You know, episode 119, that was the first time we did the boosted list. So, you know, almost 180 episodes of this, and how many times have you all actually managed to sync your claps? It is just this hilarious little the simplest of things that you all cannot get right.
I blame Discord.
I blame Ian.
I fully blame Discord.
All right, Ian, what's
Craig
number
and I
one?
Were on a roll for a long time and then it all fell apart.
That's true. Numero uno, please.
Oh, my number one is the top three. I love finding out. I love when it's topics where I feel strongly that I know what the two of you are going to say and you don't. And then I have to, like, question our whole relationship. It's fantastic. It's a little bit irreverent. And, you know, it's just it's neat to pepper in, you know, some stuff that's interesting, but a little bit off topic.
See, I'm on board with that, but it's sometimes it takes too much time. Like, I have to think. This is, so my number one is one that I don't have to think. It actually just completely informs me on what's going on. I like the news. I like discussing the clues.
What?
I like talking about the new characters. I really enjoy the news topic because I don't have to do anything for it. I just listen to what Craig says, follow along on the post, and I'm good.
That's crazy talk. My number one is, for all the reasons Ian said earlier, the pie segment was the best segment of all time, and we should replace it with something similar. We're going to need a cake segment or something, because I love the pie segment. I loved researching the internet for the worst pies that I could find. And it was always a good time. And the fact that Joe had to fast forward through it every time made it worth it every time. And
can we have this future baking segment hosted by Joel McHale?
If Mary Berry can show up too, that would be the bomb. And maybe some Paul Hollywood.
No, those guys are retired. Joel McHale will host anything.
That's true. Joel McHale will sell himself out for anything. So Crime Scene Kitchen is not good, but I still watch it.
I do too. Every episode, yep. Solid gold.
Yep.
And be delightfully meta when he does it.
Although he got a new haircut in this last episode. No, sir. Didn't like it.
Oh. I'll check it out. I'll let you know.
Yeah. All right, Samurai, what do you got? What's your number one?
For me, the number one segment's got to be the top three, but for different reasons, as y'all have mentioned. And of course, this comes from my bias of what I deal with on my end. But that segment, more than any other, really keeps me on my toes because... You know, as you, part of the reason why I ended up endearing myself to this whole ordeal early on was you loved the fact that I had lightning fast Google Foo, and no segment has ever done more for me for keeping my Google Foo honed to a fine touch.
Sharp.
Than that top three segment. Because, yeah, nice. I mean, y'all can either take 5 minutes or 30 seconds and... Like, you just got to search and search and search. And, you know, to pull back the curtain a little bit, like I did on the other one, you know, when we start talking about top three, so listening advice or, you know, how are we going to do this or whatnot, and I'll sit there and say, well, obviously the answer is X, and thinking, no, they're going to go, you know, I'll say, why is this not obvious to everybody? And then y'all end up going in a completely different direction. And... listening to Craig physically rattle his brain to come up with a clue harkens back to some of the best of his God's forsaken clues from the feature character of the week segment back in the day.
My clues are solid gold and I stand by every one of them.
I still don't have enough time in the world to tell you why you're wrong about the kamikaze clue. I want to go back to grad school and write another thesis about why you're wrong.
I don't know if they'll give you a doctorate for that, but all right, good times.
You've got a PhD in Craig wrongness.
There you go.
Oh, and I do have an honorable mention.
Okay.
I have an honorable mention for local news because it is, for some reason, bizarrely hilarious to listen to three guys get so worked up about either traffic or what fast food restaurant has come or gone.
We're simple men leading simple lives.
Right. I mean, I completely understand, like... The
all I want, man, is a good chicken tender. Come on, like, that's all I'm saying.
You ain't finding chicken tenders anywhere for a while. Bojangles has completely taken their Supremes, their tenders, off of the menu until the chicken prices come down. But
what? That's crazy talk.
It supply chain disruptions. That's going to be the thing of 2021.
All right, let's move on. Ian, hit me with some trivia.
Oh no, not trivia. All right, now here's the bad part.
You have no idea what the last question is.
I don't see it out of my notes. I don't remember what I could have asked. Nope, I already answered that one. I'm sorry. I've got dozens of sticky notes in front of me, and I don't know which one it's on. Yep, it wasn't a Perondiac situation. I just don't know. But I do have a question for this week. Okay, I thought it was coming up there in the Discord. So, if I remember at any point the question, I will give you guys the answer, assuming that I know it. This week's question, to make up for my lack of remembering, is what is the name of the rival-turned-savior of Black Panther, the head of the Jabari tribe, who fought him for supremacy, lost, and then saved him from Killmonger?
Okie doke.
All right.
Yep, I'm not going to read that again, but I will give you the answer next week, and I'll make sure that I keep this note somewhere nearby.
Sure you will. All right. Hey, brought to you by the immortal, this pie. Let me tell you about a pie.
Oh, pie segment.
Let me tell you about water pie. This is a pie recipe featuring from the Great Depression.
Nice.
So, it's a very simple pie. You take your pie crust. You pour water into your pie crust. Not hot water or anything, just tap water. You then will stir together flour and sugar. Sprinkle this over the top of the water so that it kind of floats on top. Do not stir. Just sprinkle it on top to get a nice coating all over the water. Take some vanilla extract, dribble that over that. Do not stir. Take some pats of butter, throw that on top of that water slurry you got going on there. Bake it at 400 for 30 minutes, then reduce to 375 and cook some more for another 30 minutes. The water will jellify up and then you cool it, enjoying a creamy, buttery pie recipe for all to enjoy. It looks horrific. Please enjoy.
It's actually just water pie. Like, how does... I don't know how it doesn't just evaporate, but okay.
I don't either. It's magic.
That, flour sugar on the top there.
Yeah.
You know, kind of encapsulates the water.
I guess when you're that poor, you can just will it into existence.
So here, I'll put the link to the pie recipe.
There's so many pictures in Discord. And Sluggo says that this sounds like the Pokemon episode where Jessie talks about how she ate ice as a dessert as a kid because they couldn't get real ice cream or cake. Pretty much.
So there you go.
That's sad. I didn't realize she had such a tough upbringing.
For only 178 calories per slice, the bargain that is water pie.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Nope. Water pie's gonna happen in our lives soon, trust me.
There you go. Willie, what's in the mailbag?
Alright. So this is where we speed up a little bit. In the mailbag this week, Willie took a break, much like you, Craig, last time. Ian, apparently we left everyone speechless. There were no nice comments on D3, no comments on Reddit, so hey, this is a quick segment. And I just want to say happy vacation, wow, Willie.
Yeah.
Dang, I hope his was it better than mine. It. All right, moving on then. This week's feature character of the week, brought to you by Rat Economy Sets. Hey, are you looking for some nice rats to really fill out the decor of your newly finished dungeon space? Yeah, with costs these days, who can afford that? Rat Economy Sets are here for you, the lowest price anywhere, for all your rat needs. This week, let's talk about Legion. Ian, what you got?
All right, let's talk about Legion, because he is still one of my favorite characters, and I feel like he came out after we retired this segment. I like everything about him. He does a little bit of everything. He can use all the colors. Technically, he's a purple, yellow, green character, which I love it already. But let's talk about these powers, because they all switch. His main ability, purple, is Tyrannax the Abominoid. This is his ability where he chooses a tile that becomes a repeater tile. It's a one-turn repeater, and every time it activates, he steals AP in the color that you've turned into that repeater tile. He can steal up to 3 AP when this is going down. Now, if at any point you have more red AP than purple AP, the power switches and becomes Senia Nadja Panov. Anyway, it's more direct damage, or some direct damage. It's you fire it off, it costs 6 red like everything he has costs 6. Fantastic bargain. It deals direct damage and extra damage for every repeater tile that you have in one of the enemy's colors. So, yeah, it actually does quite a bit of damage. And obviously all the powers are meant to synergize with their other half in some way. So his second ability is Kazek the Conduit. It's yellow. You choose a color, you deal damage plus damage for each AP the opponent has in that color, and then you destroy 2 of that enemy AP. So it's fun and effective. He's doing a good amount of damage plus bonus damage for each extra enemy AP that they have in that color. This one, if you have more black than yellow, it switches to a black ability. The Delusionaut. This, I believe, is the one that turns him invisible. Let me read real quick. Yep, it creates a black invisibility tile, then restores health, Then it grants a burst of health to a random ally if the enemy has zero AP in any color. That increases, obviously, as the levels go up, and he stays invisible seemingly forever, and you can win the match that way. Lastly, but not leastly, the green Myclogester. This is another repeater tile situation that puts attack tiles on the board. Sometimes he can create as many as two repeater tiles, creating higher strength attack tiles. And when you run out of green, and if you have more blue, it flips to a blue power, the Origamist. The Origamist is, he's removing enemy strike, attack, and protect tiles, and fortifying your special tiles, then improving your special tiles. So he's fortifying three tiles. He's improving your friendly tiles by like 470 per tile. So, yeah, he does everything on his own. Legion is surprisingly versatile character. For that reason, he doesn't seem to pair well with anybody, and he's not good at any team-ups, and no one likes him. But on his own, he can do everything you need to do. He can stay invisible and win the whole match. And for a character that has six different powers, I secretly love him. I don't know that I can say that about anybody else, except for Coulson. Coulson's got a dope power setup, too. But I don't understand how all of his stuff works, so don't ask. I can only tell you about Legion. And that's the featured character of the week.
All right. Hey, brought to you by Battlecry, we got the Superhero Showdown.
Superhero Showdown!
So in Season 1, we had the Sentinels as the victors.
Yes.
And in Season 2, we had Doom.
Doom.
Yeah!
So, in Doom versus Sentinels, it's not looking good for the Sentinels.
It's not.
I mean,
Victor is just such a potent...
Do we have any argument for the Sentinels? Like, I don't know. They can adapt, right?
They can. And again, if you go outside of the parameters of the Superhero Showdown, I feel like they would, you know, after he destroyed quite a few of them, you know, they would become resistant to his magic or resistant to... But, I mean, he's just... I don't see a Sentinel beating Dr. Doom in any scenario.
I don't think they can adapt to magic.
Uh-uh.
I think they're just going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, you know, eventually, you know, yeah, they could maybe eventually out-tech him, but that seems hard, too, because that's one of his jams.
Yeah, he's got tons of tech.
Magic in the Marvel Universe is pretty much unbeatable.
I agree. He is a master of magic and technology.
Yeah, it's just Doom's.
I know they're champions, but in this matchup, I don't think they stand a chance.
All right, well, there you go.
I think they are going to go the way of Aaron Rodgers in the match. He is going to lose to Tom Brady on both the football field and the golf course. But yeah, absolutely. I don't, unless someone knows something about the Sentinels that we don't, I think it's a pretty clean sweep for Dr. Doom.
All right. Doom is the grand champion.
Doom.
Woo!
All right, once again then, I'm Hans.
Oh, and I'm Franz.
And we just want to pop you up.
You up.
No clap for me.
I heard both.
I heard just me.
Mm. I was because of a perfect unison, but I heard your clap as well as mine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who's boosted this week, and let's talk less about claps. Black Panther is boosted. He puts out those strike tiles with his yellow. They're going to be stronger, and they're even better if you have enough team-up AP. So, oh, and of course his black AoE, very potent. His repeater tile that puts out shields, so they'll be even more protect-y. Cyclops with his long flowing blonde locks.
Scott!
His red damage will be increased. His increased black damage will be increased. His yellow will not be affected. Oh, Elektra. Is 3-star the original Elektra or was 4-star the original Elektra?
4.
4-star was the original Elektra, yeah.
I don't remember what 3-star does then. I'm sure sidestep exists. Maybe it does damage after you avoid taking damage.
She's got that crippling blow knee attack.
Oh, the old crippling blow. That'll be increased too. And maybe when she swaps strike tiles and then steals strike tiles, I'm sure there's an increase in effect of those strike tiles. Kamala Khan, a character who I originally thought was ridiculous, but turned out to be a very playable and excellent character. Her burst healing will be increased, and her green AoE will be increased. Patch, also a very good 3-star. All of his strike tiles will be increased. His red and green damage will be increased. And let's say his yellow healing will be increased. Does he heal with his yellow?
Doesn't he just heal?
Or is that X-Force Wolverine that heals with yellow?
Auto heals.
X-Force Wolverine, does he put down a count? X-Force Wolverine puts down a countdown tile that either heals you or does damage. Patch just straight up heals whenever he feels like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a 2-star Wolverine where you have to make a yellow match or something.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember what 2-star does. Yeah. That guy's a bum. All right. Let's talk about these crazy 4-stars. Agent Venom's boosted this week. Get more damage out of his red. You're going to get more damage out of the military might half of his black. And he'll do a little bit more self-damage or self-harm with his alien weakness. And you can get better AoE out of his yellow ability. Magic is boosted this week. When she rolls limbo, nothing happens. When she gets back from limbo, the strike tiles are much better. Her slice sorcery damage is improved. And her protect tiles and buffing ability also improved. Good old Mr. Fantastic, the recently reworked. Has there been a character reworked more than him? Has he had 3 or 4 reworks?
I don't know. He's had a couple.
It's awesome. Well, imagine that is still the same awesome that it was. His flexibility does some more damage, and his health burst is increased.
Samurai believes allies. That Bubbles was reworked one more time than Fantastic.
Oh, I did not know that. All right, let's see what Shuri is up to. Her twin blasters deal more damage, and the damage that you get when matching fortified tiles is increased while she is boosted. And Yondu, more health from his yellow, bigger strike tiles from his black. When you initially put out that blue, it does more damage, and then when it when it repeats and hits you over and over again, more damage. All right, let's see. Now the brand new 5-star boosted characters. Apocalypse is boosted. He seems popular. What's he up to? Bigger protect tiles, add more damage with his yellow, 4 consecutive hits of damage with survival of the fittest, and more damage or bursting health and bigger protect tiles with forged in fire. Spooky 5-star Iceman he's got more green damage, and his yellow countdown tile prevents more damage. This looks like Kingpin, I assume. I remember him. Giant Kingpin from the Spider-Man animation. Let's see. He's got more blue damage, and his green will deal more damage and put out a bigger attack tiles. And lastly, 5-star Loki. Everybody's favorite Wednesday night show. His dagger surprise does considerably more damage. His green does considerably more damage. And Shadow Play and Feign Death. There will be no changes on that front this week. See what... I'm not even going to read it. Samurai.
Yo.
Read the Samurai Says segment for me.
So, this is Iceman's... this is the first time we've had a 5-star, boosted 5-star return. You know, Iceman's coming back so soon. And I, 5-star Bobby is amazing. Mm-hmm. He was a benchmark of 2 or 3 of my teams for a while. But with the way he's good at stunning people, everyone's going to be running Apocalypse to counter that. And, well, Apocalypse is just going to deal insane amounts of damage. So this week, PvP is pretty much going to come down to you're running Apocalypse Iceman or you're going to be climbing uphill a lot. I can't really speak to what's going to go on in the 4-star tier. I think you're going to see a fair amount of Venom just because a couple of his powers are so cheap and he can just throw that... He can throw that damage out. Maybe Yondu might see a little bit of play. There's always a couple people that try and make teams out of magic, but for those of us in the higher tiers, yeah, it's going to be just tons of Apocalypse Iceman. It's going to be a wild week, and I hope everyone's stocked up on their taco tokens and their hero points, because you're going to need a lot of health packs to hit 900, 1,000 this week.
Yeah, Apocalypse is normally devastating. Apocalypse boosted... that's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you have it. That's what Samurai has to say about this week's boosted characters. So listen to me now and believe me later. That's who's boosted this week. Thanks, as always, to Mystify.
Hey, let's curl up in a ball and talk to Ray and Ian in their support corner.
Is that the intro? That doesn't sound right.
I don't remember the intro, dude. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, me either.
It was a really long time ago. I can't believe it's a segment. All right, Reg, go first. That's the law.
So this week, and I was told to pick this segment because we covered all of the support. We covered all the supports previously, and I didn't know what to do. And the answer was quickly given to me that I should definitely go with Taskmaster's Sword because it is the most often switched support in order to accomplish crash victories, you know, the one-on-ones. So there you go. Taskmaster Sword is this week's support. I currently only have level three sword, but even with that, it's still very useful because just at rank one, your supported character does extra damage to heroes. So if you're going into a one-on-one fight against somebody who is listed as a hero and not a villain, just if you have one star of this, it's worth putting on. That extra damage, I mean, mine's only 334 damage, but that's, you know, that's just that extra amount of damage that can push you over the top. Rank 3, the supported character's powers deal additional damage to enemies, so that just makes it even more awesome. Unlocked at rank 5, you get at the start of the turn, you have like a percentage chance, it starts at 16%, to fortify a random friendly special tile. Which means, unless you're fighting, who's the one that steals Prowler? Unless you're fighting Prowler, that's going to keep your tiles on the board for longer, so again, just an overall support. If you do keep it on Taskmaster, when Taskmaster fires a power, you also create a strike tile. It's like 100 points of damage. Again, it just helps you get over the top. So normally I keep the sword on Taskmaster, but yeah, easy to swap it off of him in case it's you're coming up on a 1v1 and you can just use a little bit of a boost. So there you go. That's your in-game support this week, Taskmaster's Sword.
Nice. So for your out-of-game support, which is actually an in-game support, sort of, it's all about the D3 support. D3 support has, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, been hard at work over the last, 7 years, 8 years now? How old is this game?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. You started playing
somewhere in that zone.
You started playing it first, dude.
What's that?
You started
playing. I know, I don't remember. I was still a game. It was only, was it even a year old when I started?
Yeah, I think it's 7 and a half now, because I just went over my 7-year anniversary, so.
Okay. So, yeah. So throughout that, there have been many changes to the game, and every time there's a change to the game, there's a lot more work for the D3 support. When you had, back when you could exchange your covers for a specific 5-star cover, because you were getting too many, before championing became a thing, after championing became a thing, when people were vaulted, when they stopped vaulting people, I mean, really, and honestly, the one or two times I've had to reach out to support, the turnaround time was very fast, and everything was very professional and friendly, so I can't say enough good things about the D3 support system.
All right. There you go.
Yeah, reworking 5 stars and selling them. Holy smokes.
Hey, your support's brought to you by Fortify.
Fortify.
Let's head over to team up time.
Synergy segment featuring Ray.
Oh, it beat you to it.
Nice. All right, so this week, I believe this was suggested by, I don't know how to pronounce this, Dychess on Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah, he is famous on the Reddit forums.
Yeah, he's prolific on there.
Or she is, I don't know. I don't want to judge.
So this team up is 4 stars. Shuri, Silk, and throwing in the new Lizard.
Ooh. Yep.
So in this case, it's a little uncertain on this as the main engine is Shuri's vibranium tech. So if she goes down, the scheme just kind of falls apart. But Silk and Lizard can do a pretty decent amount of fortification themselves. As long as Shuri is still alert, friendly powers quickly flow, and enemy powers get really sluggish. So all three of these characters deal in fortified tiles. Shuri, definitely. Silk, as we discovered during this recent puzzle game, Silk puts out a ton of fortified tiles. Shuri, if there are 5 fortified tiles on the board, enemy powers cost 3 more, and friendly powers cost 3 less, It's a passive, automatically happens, makes your powers fire off just super quickly. So this is it's a pretty interesting team. I don't have Lizard quite high enough to really try it out, but I generally have Shuri at a 5-4-4. Silk, you could argue, but I like her at a 3-5-5 generally. Maybe a little bit more in String Shot, but I don't, to me, it's not as important. Lizard, by the look of it, I would put him at a 5-5-3, especially for this team. So if you've got Lizard, and if you've got Silk, because they're both fairly new, try it out. It sounds like an interesting team up. So there you go. That's your team up for this week. Thanks, as always, to Unify.
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 Yeah, I remembered it was Unify. At this point, I'm like brain dead, so.
Yeah. All right, let's go OG and open up a token brought to you by this guy.
This guy. Let me see where I put those. All right, here we go.
Hey, finally!
I got my first yellow cover for Mockingbird.
Congratulations.
From a latest Legends?
But yeah.
Nice.
That was a fun surprise. That's rare. Right, that takes her up to a 2-1-5. Click on that ability and read what it does while someone else okay. opens tokens.
I've got 6, but I might stop early. Depends on what I get.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So number 1 is a 4-star Ghost Rider. Number 2 is another 4-star. Gloves off for Miss Rogue. I'm only stopping if I get the wrong 5. So next is a Ghost. Sense a theme on this one. 4-star Unfazed. And number 4 is a 5. It is Ronin, Swift Hammer of Justice. I got to check and see where my Ronin is real quick. Yeah. So that's it. I'm out for now. I'm going to call it there because I got management issues that I got to look at.
All right. I've got 7. First is Nebula. That's useless. Number 2, Null, a mortal coil. That's nice. Oh, back-to-back purples.
Nice.
Ronin, Judgment Call. Winter Soldier, Precision Shot. Imperious Rex.
Out on brand.
The Talosian, Stunning Blow. And the last one is Meh. Crowd Goes Wild.
Nice.
Good stuff there. All right. So going way back. There used to be taco tokens were the thing.
Oh, I thought Samurai was opening a token.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I don't know, maybe he doesn't have one.
How dare you, Craig?
No, I've got plenty of CP. I can pop a couple.
Okay.
Trying to get Switch Champ before she rotates out in a couple weeks.
Right.
That's a 4-star. That's a thing that is rock solid. And, it's another yellow. Another Bucky Barnes Precision Shot. At least that gets me 6 shards closer to my next Switch cover.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Yes. So, Craig, as you were saying, once upon a time when we started this show, legendary tokens had not been invented yet.
Right.
And token opening was still appealing.
Right.
What did we do back in those days?
Apparently we opened taco tokens.
You betcha we did. I will start and hope for the best.
Oh, that's weird.
1. Sweet. Yeah, I'm on sweet. Okay, here I am. Anyway.
Dude, what does your taco token say?
Sweet.
What are my options?
Well, one taco says dude, and the other taco token says sweet.
Come on, dude.
I missed it. Anyway, I got a 2-star Hawkeye speed shot.
I remember getting 2 stars on the show before.
All right.
So I did manage to actually remember to save one today. It's a vault, so I clicked on it. Now I'm waiting for the animation because I didn't click correctly. Hey, I got 5 sure. health packs. Yeah.
Wow, good job.
Hey, speaking of health packs, I did just notice that, you know, with Apocalypse and Iceman coming up, if you're fearing or dreading fighting them and need those health packs, for $3, there is an offer that you can buy 30 health packs. It's almost like it was planned.
Yeah.
So which is the current one? Because it turns out I have both sweet and spicy taco tokens.
Sweet is Dude. Open right now. I also, no, spicy isn't always current.
Spicy is the one that changes every day.
Savory that you rotate between.
Oh, okay. Which one would you like?
Spicy is a constant.
You want sweet?
Sweet it is. Do it, Craig.
All right. 1,000 hero points.
Wow.
Wow.
You bolster me up to an outrageous amount of 9,710 hero points.
That is crazy. That's a fantastic pull.
Wait, how many hero points do you have?
9,710.
No, you do not. What happened?
I apparently don't buy anything anymore.
Oh, man. I feel like it was 5 minutes ago that you were bellyaching about hero points.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Start hoarding them now. You're getting close to that point where the cost of roster slots goes up.
That's true. I've got 298 heroes.
Yeah, you're going to be hitting that in the next month or so.
Is it 300?
Yep. At 300, it goes up to 2,000 a roster slot.
Yeah, so... And I currently don't own either Electro or Scarlet Witch. So there's two right there.
Yeah.
While I was sitting here, I got a free vault token for some reason. So I'm going to open it for the Stars and Stripes vault. I can't be sure what's in it or if I will be excited by what's happening. But whenever I get a free token, it's for use. And hey, it's Captain Marvel. The same Captain Marvel that's been menacing my Captain Falcon.
So I also just opened my Stars and Stripes token. And I am posting my result to Discord from my iPad. Hopefully this works. I got on a first pull the legendary token that's in there.
Quick, take a screenshot of it and post it in the subreddit.
Is that how you get karma?
Well, that's how you get everyone in the subreddit to hate you.
Oh, that's kind of... I'm halfway there already, so... Boom.
There you go for Ray. All right, well, thanks always then to this guy. All right, and other things to, as we wrap up, is a reminder, hey, Winter Soldier edged out Civil War for our top spot in the MCU movie showdown.
Oh, right, this is the segments in memoriam segment.
That's right. And then if you way back before, you know, things changed in the world, when we couldn't actually roster everyone because it was impossible, there was a Dying on the Vine segment, but it died on the vine. But it went to a good place. So there you go.
It did. It did. We're better off without it. And I gotta say, I mean, that became, like, approved MPQ lexicon for a long time.
It was.
And I was really proud of inventing that.
Yeah, people talked about Dying on the Vine in all the forums.
Yeah.
That was good times.
I can't believe you transitioned to a good place and then didn't even explain.
Hey, people should be able to follow along to catch that joke.
Okay.
And, Ian, what's on the podcast network?
Oh, the podcast network. It is called the soon-to-be-named network. It is... Sorry. Those bullets went back up my nose. It is called the soon-to-be-named network. It's available to soon-to-be-named-network.com. You can check out our shows, our other shows, lots of shows, even some shows about wings, and who knows what else at any given moment.
So,
probably wrestling.
Ian, does your cat's breath smell like cat food?
It probably, if I ever have one, I'm sure that it will.
Right.
I don't know that I can promote good feline oral hygiene, but I'll do my best. but it's if you want to check out a complete archive of all the shows, soon to be named network, soon to be named network.com. That was horrible.
All right. So that's a nice round, about hour and a half long show.
It is. Craig, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
I only remembered to ask. I don't know if I asked you, or I know. Think I remembered to ask Ray and Karen. Is there any chance that you play a Doctor Who mobile game on your phone?
No, I quit playing that a long time ago.
Oh, okay, but you did.
I did, yes.
Sorry, I'm only asking this because I went to check out some of the reviews in the App Store to see if I wanted to give it a try.
Uh-huh.
And the first review was from a user named AccuWeather is Dumb. And I thought, wow, I know at least four people who could be that person.
I did not leave any such review. And,
okay, you did not post as AccuWeather is Dumb?
No.
All right, I just wanted to check.
That's a true statement. But...
Craig, the people want to know, are you still playing Willy Wonka?
I do play Willy Wonka every day, yes. one match three game isn't enough for me. I still need my Willy Wonka.
My wife and my son are reading a chapter of that book every night.
Ooh.
So, as a result, Alexa has only been playing the soundtrack to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory multiple times a day, every single day.
The original version, not the Primus versions?
Correct. The original movie soundtrack, not the Primus version.
That Primus version is pretty sweet, though.
It is. It was a great album. My son is really loving the book and really immersed in it. He listens to the soundtrack way too often. Sometimes he will come up and start a conversation with me, which is just something from the movie.
Probably once a month, I will put on the listen to a movie and just have Willy Wonka in the background whilst I, you know, go to sleep or something.
Yep. Today I walked up to him going, I was sitting there and he said, "Hey, Dad." And I said, "What's up, son?" And he said, "Up the Airy Mountain.
Down the Russian Glen.
No one goes hunting for fear of little men." And I was like, "You're the worst kid I've ever had."
Then he could just look at him straight back and go, "Cheer up, Charlie. Don't be sad." That's the worst part of the movie to sit through.
No, I love that song.
Oh, it's the worst. The worst. Go back and stir in your dingy gray clothes, woman.
I know, it's so gross. It's like a big pot of delicious clothes soup.
Yeah, it's terrible. She just has like this big paddle and she's just like stirring, yeah, clothes soup. All right, let's wrap this up. Thanks everybody for joining in episode 300. Comments, suggestions, please shoot something at Ray. He needs something to read next week. He felt really sad this week that there was no mail.
I do actually have something to read, though. I wanted to do this real quick. Oh. We haven't done it in a while. Patrons, I wanted to give a shout out to people who supported this podcast over the years.
No, do it, Doug.
It's kind of a long list, but I'm going to blow through it. First, Mr. Nelson, Astro 3, Mr. Karras, Lemomi 27, Tom Swing 71, also known as Flynn's Arcade, Mr. Jones, J.A. Jones, A.P. Dernberger, Aestheticist, Mr. Levine, Anna Moret, Man in the Box, also known as Jesse, also known as Bang Bang. What's the... I can't think of
Cactus
it.
Jack.
Cactus Jack. Thank you. Moving upward, Brian, Bri the Fry Guy, JCT the Third, Mr. Nelson, Screech, Yace the Ace, Mr. Polier, Swordfish 15, Chris Skippy, the Orgelmeister, Mr. Barrett, Mr. Clash, Mr. Marrero, if you remember Angel Marrero, thank you very much, J Wall, R.M. Weiner, Mr. Metzer, El Zoof, Mr. Prudhomme, Alpha, who's still here with us tonight, Astro Monkey 9, and the absolute highest contributor to our podcast, Brian, a.k.a. Hesjin Gixon. We do really appreciate everyone who has signed up as a Patreon and who's contributed to the show and kept us on the air for so long. With literally without you, it wouldn't have been possible. So thanks to everybody.
That guy.
Your celebrity psychic, Gene Dixon.
Right. Gene Dixon.
Always much appreciated. All right. So if you want to throw us a bone, you can become one of those Patreons or go to our webpage, click on that Amazon banner, buy yourself some stuff, and we get a little bit on the back end. Or if you're really jonesing for things to buy to smash and throw away later, go over to cafepress.com/PuzzleWarriors3 and buy yourself something over there. So that's it, I think. Goodbye for now. Remember, kids, the real question is, what did they taste like? Good night, everybody.
Goodbye, friends.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.